Well, good morning, church family. I'm always blessed to be with you, to be in the Father's house. And I don't know about you, at the times when we're worshiping or when you're in sermons or at times, I don't know if you have this moment. It happens to me. You can feel the Spirit is there. And what an amazing thing is to be worshiping our God, to be lifting His name on high. And these songs, what I love about the songs that we choose to use here at Trinity is that they are always proclaiming the gospel. They're always proclaiming the truth of the Lord. They're built on theology, built on scripture. That it's not, you couldn't swap out Jesus' name and put in your spouse or a boyfriend or a girlfriend into it. It's not a radio love song because it's describing a love that doesn't exist in humanity. It's describing a work and an action that only can be done by God. And that's what I love about just the songs alone that we do, that it centers our hearts and our minds on the truth of the gospel. And that's a lot of what we're going to be talking about here this morning, when we talk even more about being the family. When we think about the gospel, and we think about our Lord Jesus Christ, how much He loves us, and the level of sacrifice to care for us, the level of sacrifice that He did to connect us and make us His family. We need to set our minds on that. Because what we're going to be looking at here this morning, when we talk about being the family, we've looked at how we were created as the family, how we were adopted, that Christ called us out of our sin and into His eternal joy. We looked at some of the process that Christ uses to mature us, being under leadership, being in community, consistently being in the Word and under teaching. We've looked at how that we are to be surrendering to letting Christ minister to us. So, and His act of ministry in the depths of our sin is similar to how Jesus is washing the disciples' feet, that He's getting in there and taking care of the yuckiness of their sins that come on them, that we are to care for and minister to one another in that way. And we can only do so if we let Christ do that with us. Last week, we looked at those who Christ calls into caring for us and leading us and being an example to us of being servants, that God has given us both leadership and given us caregivers in the church family. And it's this beautiful thing called the family of God that we are in, that it's not like anything else. This isn't a country club. It's not a political party. It's not a fruit club of the month. No, we gather together to be family members, to be radically living and caring for one another. And when we look at our Heavenly Father and we look at Christ, He calls us to partner with Him and to be like Him in a similar fashion to the way He cares for us. He sacrifices for us, and He calls us to sacrifice for one another. And in that sacrifice, in that sacrificing of things that are valuable to us, what it does for us is it not only cares for one another, but it greatly moves in our hearts and protects our hearts and changes our hearts to fall more in love with our Heavenly Father. What we're going to be looking at this morning is the category that a lot of people, it's most people's favorite thing to talk about on church. Tithing. Money. Everybody's excited to come together and talk about it. And if you know the last almost 2 years I've been here, it's 19, 20 months I've been here, I've not once taught on it. Matter of fact, in all my 26 years of ministry, I've probably taught on this subject matter maybe 4 times. Because I normally like to go through books of the Bible and just whatever is there is what I teach on. But because we as a church family are really centering our hearts and minds on learning and growing, and I'll be honest, I have been seeing it in you all, just what God is doing and creating more unity and love and this change in the atmosphere of Trinity. And it's a beautiful thing to see. And this is something that I think some of you are really faithful in. And yet, God wants to teach you something new this morning. Grow your heart in this. Some of us, it's going to be a stretch for us because we may not be accustomed to it, or we're very defensive about this issue about giving and money. And hey, my money is private. Don't talk about it. Don't bring it in public. Don't bring it out. Well, I'm not going to call you out by name. I don't know who gives and who doesn't give. It's one of the beautiful things about the way we set up our church is I don't know who does and doesn't. But what I want to do tell you and show you this morning is that the calling to give an offering, a tithe, a sacrificial gift, is a beautiful discipline that not only cares for the body of Christ, but is designed by God to draw our hearts closer to Christ. So with that said, would you pray with me in that vein that this would be a reality for us this morning? Heavenly Father, we want to learn to be more like you. We want to understand what it means to be your people. And that this is not just a spiritual thing being called the family, but we really are brothers and sisters in you. So may we grow in the responsibilities we have within the family. May our hearts be moved. May our minds be moved and our lives be changed so that we reflect your love, that we reflect your truth, that we function like your family. Speak to us this morning. May this time be a time of grace and learning and growing. Set us free from guilt. Set us free from the love of money. Set us free from fear. And may we trust our lives, every inch of our lives, to you, Father. Speak to us now. We ask and we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. When we talk about caregiving for one another and we talk about being a family, I want to start off by just letting you know something. Did you know that if in the scripture, it actually, when it's speaking about your earthly family, your spouse or your children or your related relatives, that the Bible actually is very hard on individuals who do not care for them financially? I don't know if you knew that or not, but the Bible actually rebukes people for not doing this. The Apostle Paul in 1 Timothy chapter 5, verse 8, is just one reference I just want to put in front of you. He says in 1 Timothy 5:8, "But if anyone does not provide for his relatives, and especially for members of his household, he has denied the faith and is worse than an unbeliever." That's a powerful statement. And I want to put that in front of us because when it comes to providing for your earthly family, what reveals as believers how we are to function in our actual households that we are a part of is if you truly love them, it is seen in helping take care of them. It is seen in how we love and we care for one another. If you say you love your family, but your children are starving, or you're not providing for them, or clothing them, you look at that husband, or you look at that wife, you look at that family, and go, "You're bad parents. You're bad family members." We all get that. The world gets it. I don't have to have that in Scripture. The world gets that. Sinful world gets it. Because providing for your family is an act of love. It's an act of love. And I believe that when it comes to the family of God, what we see in Scripture shows that this is how we are to function with each other. That we are not just a metaphorical union. We're not just a simile, like, oh, we're like a family. But we really are responsible for each other. We see this overflow of this truth being lived out in the early church. There's multiple passages we can look at. We're going to be all over between the Old Testament and New Testament this morning. But in Acts chapter 2, verse 42 through 47, if you're just writing things down, you can write down that verse. We've referenced this passage multiple times in our sermon series. It's a summary statement of what was going on in the early church, and it says that the believers, the new church, devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching, the fellowship, to the breaking of bread and the prayers. and awe came upon every soul. It means their spirit is moved in the Holy Spirit. And many wonders and signs were being done through the apostles. And all who believed were together and had all things in common. They were selling their possessions and belongings and distributing the proceeds to all as any had need. And day by day, attending the temple together and breaking bread in their homes, they received their food with glad and generous hearts, praising God and having favor with all the people. And the Lord added to their number day by day those who were being saved. Now, like I said, we've referenced this multiple times, and we will, because this is a picture, a summary of what was going on in those days and in that time. And I wanted to focus on verse 44 and 45 of that section for just a few minutes here. In here, Luke records this. He's in verse 44. He says, all who believed were together and had all things in common. And they were selling their possessions and belongings and distributing the proceeds to all as any had need. You see, this is an overflow reaction to them being taught by the apostles. This is an overflow reaction of them believing in the gospel of Jesus Christ. This is an overflow reaction of Jesus Christ moving in them to see their lives and to see their possessions and to see their members of the church in a new way. There are members in the church who are in need. There are members in the church who are struggling. There are the church has to be taken care of. And they saw and understood it is their responsibility to care for one another. They didn't look to the local government to do this. They didn't look to the Romans to do this. In today's day and age, the non-believing world is not going to look after the church. The non-believing world is not going to care for the body of Christ and the people of Christ and the ministry of Christ because they do not believe in Christ. It's the responsibility that falls on those who love Christ and love the body of Christ to care for the body of Christ. This is a heartbeat, a deep desire that is moving in this church. It's heavy in them. Why? Because the apostles were teaching them God's word. They're both referencing the Old Testament and what Christ has taught them. They're bringing what Christ has revealed about himself to them and making the connection of who Christ is in the Old Testament and who they are as the people of God. And people are hearing that and going, we are changed. They're cut to the heart. They're moved to be a different kind of people. So they are giving financially. They're not just giving, they're sacrificing, selling things. Because what they know from the Old Testament and what they're hearing and what is being taught by Christ. And by the way, if you didn't know this, outside of the kingdom of God, the one of the top topics that Jesus tends to reference over and over again in the New Testament is how we deal or how we approach or what money is for. The love of money, the struggle with money, or referencing the kingdom of God and the blessings and the treasure of it. It's a constant, either a metaphor or an actual topic he is constantly dealing with. It's like one of his top two or three topics he deals with on a regular basis. Because it's so close to home for us. It's so close to our heart. It's so close to our security. And wouldn't you know it? Our God wants to be our security. Our God wants to move in us, to glorify him with every aspect of our lives. Not just our physical bodies, but everything that goes on in our life. I don't know if you knew this, but in the Old Testament, when you talk about the topic of tithing and giving and sacrificial giving, there are three main, and there's actually multiple smaller categories, but three large categories that talk about the tithe. And I want to put them in front of you. The first is what's known as the Levitical or the sacred tithe. We see this in Numbers 18, verses 21 and 24, is just one reference of it. There's the tithe of the feasts in Deuteronomy 14, 22 through 27. There's the tithe for the poor in Deuteronomy 14, 28, and 29. Now, if you're new to the Bible or you're new to your faith or you just not understood the Old Testament, let me explain a little bit of things to you. You see, when God created the nation of Israel as his people, he brought them, they were created as 12 tribes. 12 tribes from one family. Okay? And so from this, these 12 tribes, each one of these tribes were given a piece of land in Israel. Each one of these tribes was given a piece of land that says, this is your territory to live in, to make a living in, to conquer and to rule and to manage for the glory of the Lord. Except for one of those 12 tribes. And that was the tribe of Levi. This tribe was the tribe of the priests. Their entire livelihood and their entire existence as a tribe were to be people who were set aside to minister on behalf of the other tribes and behalf of God, to be a tribe of priests who would go into the temple, go into the sacred holy of holies, to be a people where the priests come from, and to be a people who would minister on behalf, dealing with the sins of the people of Israel, and at the same time, bringing and exposing people to the holiness and the truth of God and God's word. This was their calling. So instead of giving them a portion of land to farm, or raise cattle, or make a living, God said that the vocational ministers of the tabernacle should live on the tithes of the 11 tribes. The tithe, if you don't know this, means 10%. A 10% sacrifice by each family to help the larger family of God and its ministries. In Numbers 18, verses 20 through 21, I just want to read this to you. God says to Aaron, he says, and you shall have no inheritance in their land, neither shall you have any portion among them. I am your portion and your inheritance among the people of Israel. To the Levites I have given every tithe in Israel for an inheritance in returning for their service that they do. Their service is in the tent of meeting. So in return for their ministry of caring for people and their sins and being people who help people worship God and know God, they are to be taken care of by the rest of the family of God. So when you give today, when we give our offerings, our tithes, and we have, if you didn't know this, we have a little plates in the back and over here, and then, of course, online, people are able to give on our website. When we act in this way, what we are doing is following in that mindset and that purpose. We are called to take care of those who are living for ministry. The pastors, the ministers, the missionaries, the ministry assistants, and all that is required to gather in the place together as God's family, known as what we call the church building. And the lay ministers, that's everyday believer, who is gainfully employed within in the world, is to support the vocational ministry and the costs associated with that ministry. It's a simple concept. But it's not all the tithe was about. The second thing that we see going on with the tithe, and a lot of you are going to love this, is called the tithe of the feasts. It's an entirely different type of tithe. It's actually as close as you can get to setting money aside to go on vacation. I'm not kidding. Who likes to go on vacation? God wants you to set money aside for that. You see, the tribes of Israel were to come to Jerusalem for different feasts, feasts to worship God. And so God instructed them in Deuteronomy 14 to set money aside for this vacation time, to stop work, to go rest, go worship, and relax. It's a feast. If you have any Jewish friends, you know how they feast. It's a smorgasbord. It's where we get the word. Okay? There's lots of eating, lots of fun. There's like all this connection. And they have these great feasts. They have these great parties. And they do it as a time of worship for the Lord. They party in the name of the Lord. The Beastie Boys didn't have it right, but we have the right to party. But this is what's going on. They're called by God. Come together for these feasts. Set money aside to have these vacations, this time of rest, in the Lord. Rest in the Lord and have a good time making much of God. Praising God, worshiping God. So God says, hey, I'm going to command you to do this. Now, have any of y'all had a hard time ever, like, you know, if a person is like, look, I'm not going to go on vacation. I'm not going to use my vacation time. I like work. I'm going to do my work. And, like, have to be forced to take their vacation time. There are people who are crazy like that. And if that's you, you're crazy. Okay, you heard it right here. All right, it's my diagnosis. But it's, you know, it's like, you know, we're called to rest. God took a day of rest. But we don't go rest absent from the Lord. He wants us to rest in the Lord. He wants us to find rejuvenation in the Lord. And he says, I want to call you together on a regular basis to worship me and to recognize all I have done for you. Set money aside to take care of you and your family so you can vacation and be at peace and in worship in me. I don't know why I'm not getting amens on that. But, but that's a really neat thing. That the second tithe that was a part of the family of God was dedicated to the good of man, to find spiritual retreat in the Lord. The third tithe was the tithe that was for the poor. According also to Deuteronomy 14, verses 28 and 29, that this tithe was given only for every third year. And as the text states that the money had to be laid up in their local towns and communities, and most of the time in their synagogues, and that's how they would practice it. For the Levites, that's the priests. The sojourners, that's the travelers. For the fatherless, the widows, the orphans, the poor. It suggested that the distribution was to be left to the individual to be put in their community. For their local community, their local church family, to gather this money together as a ministry. We call that a benevolent offering for those who are within their community and those who are poor and hurting who are outside of their church family. To love on them and to care for them. They were called to set that money aside. They did not have a welfare system. They did not have a government-run caregiving nanny state that was taking care of people. It was the responsibility of every believer of God to care for every believer of God and to care for those who are outside of God. When you see the sojourner, when you see the hurting, when you see the poor who come into your community, whether they are a Jew or not, they are called to set money aside to feed them and care for them. And that's how it was within our own country until our government took over that and robbed it of the church. The number one way of caring for the poor within America up until the 1930s and 1940s was the church community. And I'm not ragging on that. We do need to have and make sure we have a strong way of taking care of the needy within our nation. But many times we as the church have advocated that role. The government will take care of it. And we let go of our own personal responsibility. We let, I don't need to worry about it. Somebody else is doing it. And we, someone in the church needs help? Go to the welfare office. No, go to the church office. Go to the church family. That's where we need to be. So God's people in the Old Testament were set up as a way to be wise with their money, to care for their money, to set this money aside in tithes. Now you might be sitting here going, Brian, that's the Old Testament. We're the New Testament. We're in the church. Are we supposed to be functioning this way? I think Jesus carries that forward. One verse I want to put in front of you that I think strongly implies that Jesus carried forward the tithe is in Matthew 23, verse 23. And Jesus is speaking to the Pharisees here, and he's rebuking them, but there's something that is praiseworthy of them in their rebuke. He says, woe to you, that's the rebuke, scribes and Pharisees, you're hypocrites. What are they hypocrites about? Well, they're not hypocrites about this. You tithe mint and dill and cumin. That means everything that comes into them that is of any profit they have, they tithe off of it, including all the way down to, my plant grew this much mint, I'm going 10% goes to God. I mean, they were like on everything. That would be tedious, okay? But you have neglected, this is what the rebuke is, you've neglected the weightier provision of the law, justice, mercy, and faithfulness. For these are the things you should have done without, what? Neglecting the others. Meaning, Jesus is saying, stop doing the tithe. That's one thing you guys are awesome on it. You are superstars. But you're so about the tithe that you've lost what the purpose of God's law is. And that's to move us to be a radical new people of God's love and God's justice and God's holiness. That's what you're to be about. And the tithe is a tool to help do that. Its purpose is to support the ministry of caring for the church family, caring for your own families, and caring for the poor and the needy. That's what its purpose is. That's what God's law is for. Christ is like, you guys are hypocrites. Paul echoes this in the New Testament. In 1 Corinthians 9, verse 13 through 14, Paul says this, "Do you not know that those who are employed in the temple service get their food from the temple, and those who serve at the altar share in the sacrificial offerings?" So he's referencing the Old Testament temple pattern. And then in verse 14 he says, "In the same way," so just as they do it, we are to do it, "the Lord commanded that those who proclaim the gospel should get their living by the gospel." Well, how did they get their living in the temple? Through the tithe. Through the giving of sacrificial giving to the church community. In the same way, we as the church are to be doing this. So when you see in Acts 2, and they're giving all those finances and everything they've got, why are they so prone to that? Because they've been raised to understand this. You see, the first church were Jews who converted to Christ. They didn't make a brand new religion. They felt Christ was the fulfillment of all their Jewish prophecies, and he is. They weren't making Christianity. Christ is the fulfillment of Judaism. And like, well, this is what we're supposed to be as the people of God. And the reason why it had to then be taught into the New Testament church, because you have non-Jews being brought into it. And they have to be warmed up to this concept. They have to be taught it and grown in it. And it's not something that they must do to be right with God. No. It is something you do because you are right with God. Hear that. We don't obey the law to get right with God. We obey the law because God has made us right with him. So the tithe, the offering, the giving to the community, to the church, to care for one another, is not something that we do to please God. It's something because we have already been pleased by God. He fully loves us, and he calls us and commands us. Not only is this is good for the church family, but it's good for you and your soul. Back in the Old Testament, in the book of Malachi, chapter 3, verse 10, Malachi records God speaking, and God says, "Bring the whole tithe into the storehouse," kind of this farming language, "so that there may be food in my house. And test me now in this, says the Lord of hosts. If I will not open for you the windows of heaven and pour out for you a blessing until it overflows." God says, test me in this. You've never done this. You're not used to this. It's scary for you. Test me in this. Walk in faith in this. God is saying, hey, I'm going to do more blessing in your life with 90% of your income as you seek to follow me than you could ever do if you held on to 100%. Test me in this. Test me. God is giving us a promise of a blessing. What is the blessing? It is not you give money to church and God's going to give you more money. That's not what he's saying. He's saying, I'm going to open up for you the storehouses of heaven. I'm going to bring forward the heavenly blessing. What is that? I think it's these four things I want to put in front of you, very briefly with our time, I'm going to be quick here. Four blessings I think he wants you to get when you understand and start walking in this sacrificial service. The first is that our tithe grows our faith. That God is the owner of all things. That we are part of his kingdom and his world. It grows our faith in trusting in the one true God. Psalm 24, verse 1, just want to read this to you. That the earth is the Lord's and all it contains, the world and those who dwell in it. This means 100% of everything belongs to him. Your talents, your ability, your social security, your retirement, your bonds, your stocks, everything belongs to him. Your land, your goods, everything is his. He is the authority over it all and can demand it all, as he did to the rich young ruler. But yet, he calls us. Know me in this. Believe in me in this. Give, practice giving, and you will see as you have a lifestyle of making much of God with your finances, you will grow in your love of God. Let's talk about time for a second. If we just put money aside and talk about time, we all know that there is something wrong when a husband answers his family or his wife when they complain that you're not spending time with me. When his response is, what do you mean? I don't give you my time. All my time is yours. I work all day long, 60 hours a week for you and for the children. We all know that's a hollow response. We all know it and we get it. Giving her some evenings together, some date nights, some time with the children and playing with them proves that your time is theirs. Sacrificing from work and taking time in the morning to talk to her and have coffee and carrying out special time for those desires reveals that all your time is sacrificed for them. That's important. God declares in his own calendar, one day in seven is especially to be God's day. It doesn't mean that all the other days are not holy days of the Lord. They all belong to the Lord. And what reveals that it all belongs to the Lord is he says, have one day set aside to make much of me. That's an amazing thing. It proves that that's a holy time. The same goes with money. Giving God a tenth of our income does not deny that all of our money is God's money. It proves that we believe it. Tithing is like a constant offering of our first fruits to the Lord, because God owns everything, and it proves I believe he does. So our tithe grows our faith and our belief that everything belongs to him and every aspect of my life belongs to him. Second thing, the blessing that we gain from our tithe is it prepares our hearts for worship. I want to read this very quickly to you, and it's a very self-explanatory passage. In Mark chapter 12, verse 41 through 44, Jesus, he's in the temple, and he sits down opposite the place where the offerings were put, and they had these big kind of barrel-shaped things that people dropped it in. And he watched the crowd putting their money into the temple treasury. Many rich people threw in large amounts, but a poor widow came and put in two very small copper coins, worth only a few cents. Calling his disciples to him, Jesus said, truly, I tell you, this poor widow has put more into the treasury than all others. They all gave out of their wealth, but she, out of her poverty, put in everything, all she had to live on. Sacrificial giving is not out of obligation. It's out of worship. I don't owe God this. I worship God with this. I don't know what moves in your heart when you put in your tithe or your offering, but I pray it is an act of worship to the Lord, that you trust and you worship him. In 2 Corinthians 9, verse 6 through 7, I think this is what Paul is talking about here with the early church. When he says, the point is this, whoever sows sparingly will also reap sparingly. Whoever sows bountifully will also reap bountifully. Each one must give as he has decided in his own heart, not reluctantly or under compulsion, for God loves a cheerful giver. The New Testament believers are not free to not give. That's not what Paul is saying. He's saying you need to mature in your giving. So whatever you feel comfortable at and the state in which you give, give cheerfully. You're not under the law to please God. You are called to sacrifice for the family. But to whatever is you can be comfortable with and you can be rejoicing in, do. So for some who are starting to learn to give sacrificially, that's just like a few dollars or a few percentage. Maybe it's 5%. Maybe it's 2%. It's not that. That's where you begin, so you grow in maturity. That's why he says those who give sparingly will receive sparingly. But those who give bountifully, those who give generously, will receive generously. What do they receive? Not more money, but more walking in faith and trusting in the Lord, that he is the Lord of all of their finances. He's drawing their hearts to say, I don't love money, I love God. But wherever you're at in your walk, begin there, but don't end there. Continue to grow in this. And God is gracious with you because he wants you to be a cheerful giver. I'm going to go through these last two points very fast because I know I've gone a little bit long on our time here this morning. Apologize. The third blessing from giving the tithe is that I believe it protects our heart from greed, from loving money. Luke 12:15, Jesus said, and he said to them, take care and be on your guard against all covetousness, for one's life does not consist in the abundance of his possession. By tithing, what this does for us is it says, I don't love my money. Matter of fact, I believe God can do more with my 90% to glorify him than if I held on to 100%. That's a powerful statement. And it's a statement that I have lived on and I was raised in as a child. My parents taught this to me. I teach this to my kids. That everything you have belongs to the Lord. We do not love our money. We love our God who gives us all that we have, whether it's a lot or a little. Whether you are wealthy or whether you are poor, everything you have, God has given you so that you might be able to glorify him. And it protects us from greed and coveting. And the fourth blessing from giving to the tithe is it helps us grow to have a sacrificial heart and the love of Christ for one another. So I just want to read from Acts chapter 4. We've already read from Acts 2, but Acts chapter 4, verse 34 through 37. It says, there was not a needy person among them, for as many were owners of lands or houses, sold them and brought the proceeds of what was sold, and they laid it at the apostles' feet. And it was distributed to each as any had need. Thus, Joseph, who was called by the apostles Barnabas, who will later be the mentor of Apostle Paul, which means son of encouragement, a Levite, that means he's a priest, who now is converted to Christ. He's a native of Cyprus. He sold the field that belonged to him and brought the money and laid it at the apostles' feet. That is a level of sacrificial giving that transformed his heart because he's believing in the sacrifice of Jesus Christ for him on the cross. That's a huge deal. So I know that for some of you, you're going, Pastor, I'm a good giver. I tithe. I really didn't need to come this morning. I could be, you know, doing something else. But I pray that this morning that your heart would be moved in this. That you would pray for one another. This is a discipline that every believer needs to be mature in and grow in. And some start, whatever it is, and continue to trust in the Lord. To others, it's like 10% is easy. because God has given us bountifully. So may we be generous givers, because it reveals how much we trust in our Lord and worship our Lord with our finances. It provides for the family. It protects your heart. It grows your faith. And it furthers the kingdom of God. This is a family matter that we needed to have in the family conversation. So let us grow as the family in this. Let us seek to glorify the Lord and endeavor to use every resource he has given us to make much of him. Would you pray with me? Lord, we thank you for this time in your word. Lord, we thank you for all that you have done for us. Lord, that while we were far off from you, enemies of you, sinners, you sacrificed greatly the glory of your kingdom to become like us, broken people, to bring us into your heavenly love. So, Lord, may you be glorified this morning. May how we manage our finances make much of you. May we be able to be a people who give to the church ministry, but also set money aside so that we can rest in you and glorify you, and be a people who set aside money and give finances that are directly for those who are poor and who are hurting. May Trinity be known by our love of our God and our love for one another. May we be known by your love. And so we pray this in the name of Jesus Christ. Move in us this morning. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.